Hey guys, good evening. Yeah, please come for the 50th year of anniversary. That's amazing, actually. Let's continue with the topic of humility. We can open to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we'll look at the life of Hannah. Let's pray. Yes, God. Thank you for blessing this church. Thank you for, with you we go down, with you we go up. You exalt, you bring low, you have been very, very, very good to all of us. Thank you for what you've done, and I pray that you would use this portion, your thoughts, your hearts, for this congregation. Lord, in your name, amen. Let's read the story a little bit, just starting from the beginning, and we will see the humility of Hannah. Verse 1, there was a certain man at Ramathaim Zophim of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram. And verse 2, he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Penina. And Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. In verse 6, we see, and her rival, who is the Penina, the other wife, her rival used to provoke her grievously, to irritate her, because of the Lord had closed her womb. So and went on year by year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? Yeah. Well, after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son. Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. And as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, how long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, no, my lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. We see in this story amazing humility in Hannah. And this is the thing that I find so beautiful. Hannah didn't let other people be the reason why she couldn't seek the Lord. Hannah didn't let other people be the reason, be in her way, why she couldn't pray to God, pour out her heart before God, be herself before God. So often I could let somebody else be the reason why I don't seek God. I could let somebody else be the reason in my way why I can't worship God. But she didn't let that happen. I could say the pastor is misunderstanding me, judging me, and people are mistreating me in the church. I could let that be the reason why I don't worship God. I don't seek the Lord. But Hannah didn't. Hannah didn't let that be the reason. But she earnestly, she was herself. She was seeking the Lord. It's actually, it doesn't make any sense. Like, if you hate me, I'm not going to be your friend now. Like, I got mistreated in the church. I'm not going to seek the Lord now. I'm going to quit the relationship with God. But she understood that. She's going to keep on seeking God. She's not going to let other people be in the way for that. And we see a reward in verse 20. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. I am not going to let other people be in my way, be the reason why I cannot seek the Creator, right? I'm not going to let anybody, I don't care. We have chosen this, right? I have chosen this. You have chosen that. Let us remember that. And we see great humility and a great reward. Chapter 2 is a really good chapter also. Because in that chapter, Hannah gets a revelation of God exalting. God exalting with little and big things, and that he's in charge of every little and big, going low, going high with anything. Hannah gets an understanding of this. But let's end with this verse to motivate us to continue in humility. Proverbs 22 is a beautiful verse in thinking of life of Hannah. I don't want anybody to be in my way so that I cannot see God. Even if I'm judged, misunderstood at the church, I'm going to pour out my heart. I'm going to be seeking God. And we were going to do that. So Proverbs 22. We'll read this, and I pray it blesses us. This is what it says. Verse 4. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches, honor, and life. Yeah. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches, honor, and life. How will it come to you? I don't know, but it will come. It will come. The reward for humility and the fear of the Lord. So then, if you lose sight of this, just look at God. Look at the cross. And let us motivate ourselves in this way of life. And look at other people in the Bible too, maybe. Okay? Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Good evening. Merry post-Christmas. We're going to read Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Then we'll pray. God bless you. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. I'm reading from the King James. Be you therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Jesus, we just ask you to speak to us tonight. Please, Lord, come through your words tonight. Be with us. Teach us. Love us. Help us to understand your love, your encouragement. Help us to respond to your exhortation. Thank you for the way that you went about your life teaching others every day. Thank you for your death. Thank you for everything you have given for us. Just ask you to bless this message, bless the listeners in this room, fill our hearts with joy, and give us a great evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. I need all of you to take a second, and depending on how old you are, reel the time back in your minds and your hearts, and come to about the age of, let's say, 5, 6, 7 years old, somewhere in there. Okay? Start cranking. Now, when you're there, I want you to think about who it was, whether it was an individual in real life or imaginary, whether it was fictitious or not, someone that you looked up to, anyone that you looked up to. You got an answer right here, my grandfather. Great. Just think about it. And then let's read this verse again. Because this is really, this picture I'm hoping you have in your minds is really what Paul is instructing us about in verse 1. Now think about whoever it is you thought about. I could say, not for myself, I could imagine like Christopher Reeves for some of you. Who is Christopher Reeves? Superman. Come on. How many of you stood in some form of a red cape at some point in your life? No. Arms on your hips, or maybe one arm up in the air. Okay, all right. Go further. I don't know who's further back. I'm not going to pretend I do. How about kids today? Kids today would say the Mighty Pups. You guys know the Mighty Pups? Puppy Power? No, that's Scrappy Doo. Never mind. Mighty Pups. Batman, Superman, your grandfather, your father, your mother, a famous dancer, a ballerina, whatever the case may be, someone you looked up to. What did you do when thinking about that person or going about as you're 5 or 6 or 7 years old, as you're walking around your house, what would you do? You'd copy it. You'd imitate it. In the English Standard Version, this verse says, be imitators of God. Imitators. Now, when you imitate someone that you're emulating means wanting to copy, desiring to be like, have their mannerisms. You might dress the way that they dress. You might speak the way that they speak. You might act the way that they act. Okay, so what does Paul say to us here? He says, be you therefore, in the King James, followers, ESV, imitators, Greek word, closest translation, imitators. Be you therefore imitators of God as dear children, as that 5, 6, or 7 year old in your heart. Be an imitator of God. This is like the very definition of humility. That's the only time I'm going to say that word because you guys keep hearing it, but you guys got it. It's in your brains, humility. This is the very definition of it. Oh, that was 2 times. Okay. When you emulate someone or when we are called to emulate Christ, we have to look at certain things about Christ. I would say the first thing we should look at is probably what he said, what his words were. If we are to be followers of God as your dear children, we should be listening to the words that he has said to us and think about them and take them for ourselves, for our own hearts, for our own minds. I love what Bensku just said about Hannah not being focused on Penina, or even Eli in this case, Eli coming at her with kind of an attack or an accusation. She was focused on God's words. She was focused on God's presence. We can all be focused on that same thing. We can be looking at and fixating on Jesus Christ. So we look at his words. Where do we see his words? Well, all through the Gospels. If you have a red letter Bible, it's really easy to find them because they're all in red letters. We just passed Christmas. Easter's coming. You know what a really great reading plan to have right now up to Easter is? The Gospels. Why? Because we're talking about celebrating the birth of Christ, as we just did. And when Easter comes, we're going to be celebrating the death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. And in between that, we can read all about what Christ has to say to us. And those are found in his Gospels. For instance, another place where Jesus says, the same way that Paul is saying here, he says to follow me, is in Mark. I want to say it's 2 or 3. Let me just see. Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Here's one example of paying attention to Christ's words and the results of that in a person's life. Mark 2, verse 13. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eats and drinks with publicans and sinners? Who did the Pharisees direct the question to? His disciples. But who answered? Verse 17. When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, who's Levi in the Bible? Matthew, the first gospel writer. Do you guys know that Matthew, like, okay, pick any of the gospel writers, but writing a gospel, taking yourself completely out of anything, any opinion, any thought, anything you have, and just writing, recording what someone else has said your entire life, that's really difficult, isn't it? That's really hard. But Matthew just takes himself right out of it. Jesus said to him, Follow me. That's what he said to him. Follow me. He didn't say, Go and answer the Pharisees. He didn't say, Don't make a judgment call on what I'm doing with the publicans and sinners and why I'm sitting with them. He said, Follow me. You know what Matthew did? He followed him. He left his old life and he entered into his new life following Christ. And we have a whole gospel to show for it, and we have all these words and all these instructions of Christ to show for it through Matthew's life. Now, okay, I'm reading from Mark, but you get the idea. What's another thing we would follow after if we're to be imitators of God? What's that? What they do, their actions. Let's turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Two other disciples are mentioned here. Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1. How long were the disciples with Christ, roughly? Do you know? Three and a half years. Here's Peter and John, Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, now I want you to think about this for a second. Peter, after having followed Christ for three and a half years, after seeing him heal people all day and all night, after seeing him wake up, go off on a mountain alone to pray, come back and have power with God and have power with people and speak words of life to them and have their lives changed completely, Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look, look at us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I to you. What does he have? He has a walk with Jesus Christ, who he is imitating. And he says right here, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, not in my own name, not in my own works, not in my own power, not in my own strength, in the name of this man who called me to follow him, who said to me, I will make you a fisher of men. Look at me. Here is what Christ can do for you. Stand up and walk. He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. That only happens. It's a sovereign act of God, but it only happens following after and believing in Jesus Christ. That only happens when you are not important enough to be able to step back and say, Christ is the important one. Christ can do this. Christ is able to heal you. Christ is able to save you. Christ is able to pick you up. Christ is able to change your life. He is able to put strength in your ankles and your bones, and you're going to leap up because Christ has the power to do it. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. One more example. How about just their way of life? Be followers of God. We follow Christ in his way of life. As he is walking with the disciples, he says lots of private instruction to them. In John chapter 4, he goes and he speaks to the woman at the well, and he tells her everything she ever knew of herself, right? She dropped her water pot. She goes to tell everyone what he said. But then the disciples come. This is towards the middle part of John chapter 4, around verse 31. John 4:31. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, you need to eat." But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Has any man brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then comes harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that where you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors." They're gleaning from his way of life. They're understanding he just did something miraculous with this woman at the well. She's gone. They're coming back. And they're just worried about like this very simple, natural thing that we're all worried about in life. Hey, you need to eat something. You're looking a little tired. You're looking a little weary. And Jesus is so full of life because he just changed a woman's life. And that is meat to our souls. That is all the sustenance we could need in a day or a week or a month. Could you imagine going out speaking to one person your entire life, one person going out speaking to one person, telling them about Jesus, not about yourself, not about your story, but Jesus and his story and his life and his death and his resurrection, and their countenance changing and their life changing and everything about what they believe to be true being transformed. That could be meat for your entire life. That could be you reaping where other people have sowed into this person's life, and you just happen to be the one who listened when God said, or Paul in this case said, through the Holy Spirit, be imitators of God, be followers of him. Okay, I lied. There's one more. Luke chapter 23. This one kind of blew my mind. I was not aware that all this took place while Christ was going up to die on the cross. Luke chapter 23. So the second part, let's go back to Ephesians 5. It says, verse 2. Ephesians 5, verse 2 says, "Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." One of the ways we imitate Christ is in the way that he gave himself up willingly for everyone else. That's one of the ways we actually can imitate Christ. Now, just look at some of the things that Christ did on his way up to the cross. And this is just a very tiny sliver of time. This is a couple hours of time. This is what Christ did on his way to give himself up for everyone. Luke 23, I'm not going to read it all, but you guys can just scan it with me. Luke 23, starting in verse 26, as he falls down and someone else comes to help him pick up the cross, he sees women weeping and he just completely focuses on them, forgets about himself, and teaches them something, verses 28 through 31. He just speaks to them in their hearts directly what they need to hear. You go down a little bit further, as he's already up on the cross and the two thieves are with him. What does he say? He says in verse 34, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He has time to teach on his way up to die on the cross. He has time to forgive while he's up there on the cross. He has time to save someone while he's up there on the cross, the thief on the cross. He says to him in verse 43, "Verily I say unto you, today you shall be with me in paradise." And lastly, sorry about that, lastly, verse 46, he has time to submit to the Father's will again while he's on the cross. Verse 46, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." At any point while Christ was going up to sacrifice himself on the cross, was he thinking of himself? I'm going to teach these women here who are crying and who are just in the throes of pain and suffering. I'm going to save this man who's up on the cross, who's done nothing to deserve it all of his life, but he simply believed in me. I'm going to save him. What else? Forgiving everyone who's there. Submitting like that? Wow. Okay. Now all of you are thinking, I know you're thinking this. I don't know. All of you are thinking, okay, this is what Christ can do. What about me? Well, we're called to follow him. We're called to imitate him. We're called to put on our little Superman capes when we're 5 years old, put our arms up in the air or our arms up on the side and say, I don't know, what would Superman say? Lois, I'm coming. No, I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea what Superman would say. Okay. Up, up, and away. Yeah. Was that it? Okay. All right. We're called to imitate Christ in his words, in his actions, in his way of life, and even in his sacrificial death. So how can we do that practically? Well, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to, I'm sure you've been paying attention to where we've been in Ephesians, but I skipped a whole bunch of verses to start with chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. We're really like somewhere around verse 25 of Ephesians 4. So I'm going to give you a really quick list of what we can do practically to be imitators and followers of Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 25. And you can think of it two categories. One is putting away or putting off, and the other is putting on. And I want you to think like the Superman cape. You're putting on the Superman cape every time you're putting these things on, okay? Ephesians 4:25, putting away lying. Put it away. Lying. Put it away. Be like Christ. Be a follower of Christ. Put it away. That's what it says. I can't say it any different than that. That's what it says. Put it away. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Every time you go up to a member in the body of Christ and you tell a lie, it's like you're putting up this weird soft wall between you and them to keep them at a certain distance away from you. Okay? But as soon as the Spirit moves, as soon as the wind of the Spirit moves, that wall is coming down. You know why? Because the Spirit guides us into all truth. And the Spirit living in us wants us to live in unity with each other, with no false, transparent, fake wall between us. So put the lying away and tell the truth. Be with each other. It says in Psalm chapter 15 that you speak the truth even to your own hurt. You can speak the truth even to your own hurt. You know why? Because faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You could speak to your own hurt, but you could also maybe say something a little hard to a someone who's close to you that you could speak to, and they would, you would win them later on in your life. But if you keep lying, what does it say? The other part of the proverb, the kisses of the enemy are deceit, right? The kisses of the enemy are deceit. They're just more walls you put up, more space you put in between each other. Put off lying, put on the cape, put on truth. Jesus is called faithful and true, Revelation 19. There's not a single person he didn't speak the truth to as he walked on the earth. 4:26, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Was Christ able to go into the temple and turn over the tables and still speak to those people words of life and words of truth? Yeah, you can do that. There's a righteous indignation you can have in your life that you can accept not get so focused on and wrapped up in, and you can keep moving and keep walking in truth and love towards other people. Neither give place to the devil. How easy is it to give Satan just a little space in your heart and mind? It's like if we're, he's just like, what does it say, Genesis 3? He's more subtle than any other creature in the garden. He just can slip right in there. How do you defeat that? Be followers of Christ. Be imitators of God. How did Christ fight the devil in Matthew chapter 4? The word of God, submitted to God. It is written, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Imagine putting off the lying, the deceit, the thievery, the stealth, and putting on the openness, the transparency, the truth, and the diligence to be able to say that whatever I put my hand to, Colossians 3:17, Colossians 3:23, whatever I find to do with my hands, I will do everything as I can unto the Lord. And it's like, this amazing, and then when it's unto the Lord, it's actually not about yourself. And it's not about what you're doing or what you're capable. It's about what God has gifted you to do, what you're able to say to another person, how you're able to speak truth in a person's difficult situation and build them up with words of life and encouragement. You're actually working diligently to provide something for someone who needs it. You're actually the one sowing in that. What Christ was saying earlier, you're the one sowing so that another person one day can reap and those people can go and walk with God. Okay, you still might be hearing all this and thinking, okay, but you're giving me all these examples of what Christ does and what Christ did. If you look around this room, we'll end here. If you look around this room, Maybe you have this condemnation in your own life. Maybe you are a little put off by strong words and direct exhortations by the writer of the epistle. Look around this room and look for someone who is imitating God. It's called discipleship. Find someone who's imitating God and link up with them. Get close to them, speak to them, pray with them, ask for them to speak to you, ask for them to give you a phone call, ask for them to pray for something you have going on in your life. The entire epistle of Ephesians is all about the body of Christ coming together. It says in Ephesians 4, verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, like strengthened, compacted by that which every joint supplies, every person in this room, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. If you can follow Christ, maybe you say, it's too hard, I can't do it. Look for someone in the room who's following Christ and then get close to them and get behind them and get near them and watch what they do and look at their words and look at their actions and look at their way of life. And you know what you're going to see? You're going to see Christ. And you know what you're going to notice about yourself? You can walk with Christ too. You can do it too. You can be... I was about to go into some song lyrics. I'm not going to do that, okay? I'll spare you. You can be exactly who Christ has made you to be because he has put in you the power. It says in Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, verse 12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, right? But then in verse 13, it says, what does it say? Put it up on the board, Philippians 2, 13. It is of God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's put it in you. He's given it. Is that what it says? Amen, that's what it says. All right. Be imitators of God. We can do that, all of us. Not because it's up to us. Not because we can fake it till we make it. Not because We can put on a show and say the right things to these people over here, even though we're lying in our hearts to them. We can be imitators of God, truthful, self-sacrificing, not thinking of ourselves, walking after Him, learning His words, reciting those words, rereading those words over and over again until they go deep down into our hearts. And when you think you can't, find someone who does, and you will get strength from them, and they will impart life to you, and you will continue walking with God. Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, Jesus, help us all to put our faith in You, to walk in the strength and the power and graciousness and goodness that You have provided for us. Help us not to be full of our own selves, but actually to empty ourselves the way that You emptied Yourself for us on the cross. Help us to rely fully on Your strength and Your wisdom. Help us to let go of all of our things and give them to You. If you're a believer in Christ, your prayer can be, Lord, help me to follow hard after You. Help me to find someone to disciple. Help me to find someone to be discipled by. And if you are not a believer in this room, your prayer can be so simple. It's the same as the thief on the cross as he's getting ready to give up his life for the sins that he has committed. You can say to Christ right now, you can say, Christ, remember me this day. You don't deserve to be there. You're dying for my sins. You have paved the way for me to enter into heaven. Christ only asks us to believe. Christ only asks us to put our trust in Him. You can say, remember me, Jesus. Remember me, a sinner. If you're asking Christ to remember you today, if you've never put your faith in Christ, just lift up your hand. Just raise it high in the auditorium. The ushers have something for you. If you're asking Christ to remember you, you're asking Him to save you. Just put up your hand. Amen.